For those of you who are visiting with us for maybe the first time, we appreciate very much your being with us. Those who have visited with us before, we appreciate that too. Also, those that join us online, let me just give a very quick and brief explanation. We have a song leader rotation, and once ever so often, I end up leading, singing, and preaching at the same time, at the same service, not at the same time, but, anyway, that's why I'm up here preaching as well as leading the singing. Before we get into the lesson, I just want to say thank you from the very bottom of our hearts for all that all of you and so many others have done for Diane and for me as she has gone through what she's going through, and we're certainly not through yet, but we do appreciate so much. There have been so many that have done so much. There have been, you've run errands for us, you've carried us places, you've brought us food, you've given us gift cards. We've got lots and lots of cards, and I mean literally hundreds of cards, and I'd say probably over 500 at this point already. And we have gotten all kinds of texts and phone calls and just lots and lots of things, and more than anything else, your prayers. We do so much appreciate your praying for her and for us as we go through this. It's not an easy thing, as you well know, but it's something that sometimes happens to us, and we have to deal with it. So I just want to say thank you. It's been so many people, not just here, but it's been people from all over the United States that have found out about it in various ways and sent us encouraging letters and emails and cards and all kinds of things, and we do appreciate that so much. One of the things about being a preacher and being married, and I'm sure Haley doesn't do this, but my wife feels that she is completely at liberty to critique me and my preaching and my style and what I say, and how I say it and when I say it. And preached a sermon recently, and she said, "That was a good sermon, but you shouldn't have done it on Sunday night. You should have done that on Sunday morning." Well, sometimes that happens. But anyway, I appreciate it because she keeps me on my toes and helps me to try to do things. One of the things that she has said to me ever since Matt has come here, is she says, "Robert, you used to preach like Matt." Well, she said, "But you've gotten old and you don't preach that way anymore." So she has encouraged me, I wouldn't say 100 times, but pretty close to it, to go back to preaching the way I used to preach. And I've tried to think about that, and then I've thought about, you know, what do I need to say and how do I say? And I figured, you know, the best way to learn how to preach is not really looking at my old lessons, what I did, or looking at Matt and his lessons today, although I appreciate both of those. The fact is, if you really want to know how to preach, study the life of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you one of the things that Jesus did very often is he would just tell a story about something that everybody understood and people knew something about. And when he told that story, then he would make some spiritual application. And so we call that a parable. And so I got to thinking, what can I do to teach like Jesus? So I decided this morning, I'm going to preach on the parable of the chicken house. Now, if you're looking for that in your Bible, you ain't going to find it. Because it's not there. It comes from the book of Robert, and it's somewhere around chapter 12. It's where you go find this. So anyway, it's not there, so I just wanted to warn you ahead of time. But there was a man who built a chicken house. And when he got the house built and he got the litter base properly installed, he had this load of baby chickens that were delivered to his new chicken house. Now, being in the majority of the chicken farmers and producers, this man is responsible for maintaining the house and raising the chickens. He doesn't actually own them, though. They are owned by the poultry company that supplies them to the grower. So for the next 5 to 7 weeks, yes, that's correct, the farmer makes sure that these chickens get the proper amount of food and water and airflow and medical attention if needed, and some of the birds will live a normal life, which is somewhere in the range of 40 or 50 days. And then some of them die from various causes at an earlier age. And these are just thrown out because they can't be used for anything. Now, while this seems like a short time for a chicken to grow to maturity, it's relatively slow. Because each stage of the chicken's life, from being just a tiny baby chicken you can hold in your hand, to being a broiler ready for slaughter, to this chicken experiences every phase of life. Because they only live one day at a time. Now, being a chicken farmer is not always pleasant, and sometimes living too close to one is not too pleasant either. However, it's necessary that the chicken houses be cleaned out and thoroughly disinfected at least once or twice a year, depending on the construction and the maintenance of the house and the flocks that are growing and so on. And it's not a pleasant job. It's not a pleasant job for anybody. It's not a part of this parable, but when I lived in Florida, I was selling Toyotas. There was a guy came in to trade in his Toyota four-wheel drive truck, and he was a chicken farmer. And he had put a blade on the front of his truck, and he used it for cleaning chicken houses. And it took us about a week to get that truck clean enough to where we could even think about selling it. However, at the same time, a buildup of litter is necessary for the health of the chickens. And in fact, if you clean the house too often, it's actually harmful to the health of the birds. Because baby birds develop immunity to diseases in the litter as the bird grows, and thus they actually become healthier birds by being exposed to this older litter. But the fact of life for each baby bird is that it's hatched as a baby chicken with the destiny of being food for somebody who likes to eat chicken. A chicken is born to die. And their value comes only when they're slaughtered and processed. Now, as we think about this parable of the chicken house, the chicken house represents life. And we're the chickens. And we're born into this world to live only for a short time. And then we die. Now, the destiny of the chicken is not found in the chicken house itself, and our destiny is not found in this world, and it's not found in this life. We're born and we live here, but unlike the chicken, we die to live again. One of the things as I began looking a little bit about chickens, and because I didn't know anything about chickens. I didn't know much at all except what a little bit I had heard somewhere along. And I thought, well, you know, before I do this sermon, I better start doing some checking. So I Googled chicken houses and a bunch of other stuff and tried to find a little bit about what I was talking about. And I was reminded of my brother Edward. When he was in his 20s, he saw these people raising cows, and he thought, man, I can make me a killing raising cows. And so he's telling a friend of his who had cows that he was going to get him some cows, and he was going to rent some land, and he was going to put those cows on, and he was going to get rich. And his friend began to ask him questions. He said, well, what are you going to do in the wintertime when, you know, there's not any pasture there? He said, well, I guess I'll buy some hay. He said, well, that's fine. He said, where are you going to put it? He said, well, I guess I'll have to build a barn. He said, well, how are you going to move it? He said, well, I guess I have to buy a tractor. He said, what are you going to do when your cow gets sick? He said, I'll call the vet. He said, let me tell you right now. He said, I can tell you before you go any further, you ain't ever going to make a dime raising cows, doing it like you do. And he knew absolutely nothing about raising cows, and that's how much I knew about raising chickens before I started talking about this. But anyway, we are born, and we die. But that's not the end for us. We are born to live again. Now, some chickens are hatched to be broilers, and some are hatched to become layers. And they have a different, whole different concept of what they do and are, and they're bred differently and all of that. But the fact is, the chicken has no say in this, and he has absolutely no say in where he's going to live. It's up to the hatchery that produces the chickens, and it is up to the farmer who has them. And just as this is true, we have absolutely no say in where we are born in history. You know, we have been blessed to have been born in the time period in which we live. And we have had such wonderful, I guess it's progress in many different ways in our lifetime. And we don't have any say of where we're born in the world. And as I look, very often I look at people that live in third world countries, and especially those that are pictures taken by missionaries who have gone there to try to teach these people about God. And I look at them and I look at their life and I look at how they are living, and I begin to think, you know, what a blessing it is to be born not only at this time, but to be born in this place where I live today. And we don't have any choice of to whom we're born. And yet, what a blessing it is to be born to parents who are Christians and parents who love us and who want to help us to go to heaven. But the fact is, all of these things, we are totally dependent on the grace of God. And if there is anything for which we should be thankful, it is for these things. From a physical perspective, we owe everything that we have and everything that we are and everything we will become to God. And it's by His grace that we have what we have and we are what we are. But for the chicken to grow and mature properly, it has to have the right kind of nutrition. And not only that, it has to have it in the right amounts. And it has to have sufficient water that's clean and pure water, and also proper medical care if needed. And for us to grow spiritually, we have to have proper food and water. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Jesus said, "I am the living water." And so we must study the Word of God and learn to be like Jesus and learn to partake of Him and what He offers for us if we're going to grow and mature spiritually. But not only must we look at ourselves and not only must we mature ourselves spiritually, but we must teach our children, our grandchildren, and we must feed them properly as well. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, may live long on the earth." And the fact is, there are no children anywhere that will grow up to honor and obey their parents if their parents don't teach them to honor and obey them. It is absolutely necessary that we as parents, as grandparents, teach our children and teach our grandchildren. So he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Recently we had a class for a few hours on child raising for a number of our young couples, and it was interesting. But one of the things that I told them in that class was that you must start at a young age. In fact, I asked them, I said, how young should they be when you start reading to them and reading the Bible to them and talking to them, telling them Bible stories? The answer to that, according to all the studies I've found, is before they're born. You actually start telling them about God and about Jesus even before they're born. You do it at infancy. It's amazing how much kids can learn. And most children, even from the earliest of ages, they're sort of like a sponge and they're just going to soak up whatever it is that they're seeing and whatever it is that they're hearing. And it is our responsibility to fill up that sponge with the Word of God. To fill up that sponge with a respect for God as God. To fill up that sponge with things that are wholesome and right. And if we don't do that and we just let the television bring them up, they're going to be filled with every kind of garbage that you can imagine. Diane and I were in a restaurant yesterday. There was a little girl that probably, I would guess, maybe over a year old. And she was sitting there playing on the phone. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If a kid can learn to do that, that kid can learn a whole lot of things about what the Bible teaches. And so we need to make sure that we are getting them the proper food. We're getting them what they need at the earliest of ages, and it starts at infancy. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, Paul says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Paul says to Timothy, you've known since you were just a baby. You've known about God, and you've known what the Scriptures teach, and the way that he learned it is told to us in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, where he says that his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had taught Timothy these things. And so as parents, as grandparents, we have this responsibility to teach our young people, to teach them from infancy, to love the Lord and to serve God and to respect him. You know, it takes time for a chicken to grow and become a broiler. Not as long as it does to become adults for us, but still, it takes time. And it takes time for us to grow spiritually. And we need to understand that we should not rush maturity. There is no such thing as a quick fix for becoming mature, and that's true physically, it's true spiritually. It's true for people, it's true for chickens. You can't rush it. You have to allow it to take time and follow the process which must be taken in order for it to happen. It's just like planting trees. You can go out and plant an apple seed. Eventually you may have a tree that comes up, but you're not going to go out there the first day and find an apple on it. And you won't find it the first year. You won't find it the first 3 or 4 years probably. Eventually it will mature to the point that it will produce some apples. And I think sometimes we rush maturity for ourselves as well as for others. And what we need to do is we need to encourage growth by feeding ourselves and feeding others the proper nutrition that is needed, which comes from the Word of God. But we all grow and we all mature at different rates. This is true more so with children than it is with chickens in the chicken house, because they've been bred to grow at the same rate, basically all the same, although there are some variants. But we all grow and we mature at different rates, and we have to gradually get to the point where we become spiritually mature. But that means we need to have patience with ourselves as we grow. I've known a number of people that get discouraged because they've been a Christian for this many years and they don't feel like they've grown as much as they should. And yet they're studying and they're praying, they're spending time with other Christians and they're trying to do all they can to grow, and yet they don't feel they have grown as much as they should. Well, sometimes we just need more patience because it takes time to grow. The same thing is true when we look at others, and we need to be patient with other people. Because most of the time, most of us have been Christians for a long time. And we look at someone who has not been a Christian, but for a very, very short time, and we cannot and should not expect them to be at the same spiritual level that somebody who has been growing spiritually for a long time has reached. And so we need to be patient with each other. We need to understand even shortcomings with each other. And never stop encouraging one another to continue to grow spiritually. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord." We start out as babies. And we have to just start out with milk. But then we progress to more solid foods in a spiritual sense. Life is not always pleasant. A lot of times it's not fair. Like a chicken house, sometimes it just stinks. But we all have problems in life. And it may be health problems, as Diane's going through and we've been dealing with in our family. It may be problems that have to do with relationships, marriage or children or something else. It may be at our job or at school, or it may be with our neighbors. Problems come up everywhere. And as long as there's people around, there's going to be problems. And so we all have problems in life, and all of us are tempted to sin. Sometimes it's related to our problems and sometimes it's not. Sometimes the problem itself is a temptation to make us just want to give up on serving God. But we're all tempted to sin in various ways. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God." He's saying that once we become a child of God, we die to sin and we live for God. And so all of us are tempted to sin. And the fact is, all of us give in sometimes and we all sin sometimes. And John says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. And so the truth is, all of us do sometimes give in to these temptations, and we do sin. But you know, it is the problems in life and the trials and the temptation and even sometimes the sin when it's overcome that can help us to grow spiritually, help us mature spiritually. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this," that is in these trials, "in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." And then in chapter 4, 1 Peter, and he says, verses 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." And so yes, we're going to face problems, we're going to face trials, and life is not fair, and sometimes it just stinks. But it is going through these that make us more like what God wants us to be. It is through these that we gain strength. Our faith is strengthened. Our courage is strengthened. Our determination to live for Him grows stronger. And so we become better people because of the things that we face in life. A chicken is born to die and become fried chicken for the preacher. That is the best purpose a chicken can ever live, right there. Or I guess anybody that likes to eat chicken, they get to eat it too. That's all right. But we are not born to die. We're born to live. To live eternally with the Lord in heaven. What a blessed honor that is. The wise man in the book of Ecclesiastes talks about life, and he says, we're like the animals. We are born, we live several days, and then we die and are buried and forgotten. He said, life is vanity. Life is like chasing after the wind. There's nothing to it whatsoever. And then finally he reaches the conclusion that this is without God. He says, life under the sun, that is in this world without God. But then he concludes at the end of the book, after he's tried all of these different things to make life meaningful, he says, when everything has been heard and all has been said, the whole purpose of man living is to fear God and keep His commandments. And then he says, and we're going to face God in judgment and give an account. And so no matter what your life has been, if you're not a Christian, then you have not lived for the right purpose. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're born to a living hope that is eternal hope. Because he goes on, he says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected through the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. He says that you are going to be able to live with God in eternity. And that's why we're here. That's why we're alive on this earth, is to serve God. And to try to bring somebody with us when we go to heaven. Are you ready to leave this world? We all will at some point. It may be like the chicken at 50 days. Or it may be like somebody else at 50 years. Or it may be 100 years. But all of us are going to leave this world. Question is, are you ready to be with the Lord in eternity? If you're not, we urge you this morning to come in faith and express that faith and your trust in Jesus as your Savior and give Him your life and baptism and be raised to walk in newness of life and then live for Him faithfully. If you're here this morning, you're subject to His invitation. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.